All right, a distinction that I think is really important, and I think it's helpful to make it at this point because we're going to want to make it with larger, more complicated models later, is the distinction between equally predictive predictors and equivalent predictors. Now, I wish I could tell you that everybody uses the same two phrases the same. No. Okay? And when you find people talking about things like this, you have to stop and make sure that you and they are using the words the same way. But this is one expression that's a little more common, I think. When we compare predictors, we must consider both how much of y each predictor predicts, and also what part of y each predictor predicts. And this is where Venn diagrams are so useful. Here we have this thing called y. When we draw the circle that captures the thing called x, we get two pieces of information. How much of y it overlaps, and what part of y it overlaps. That's the nice thing about Venn diagrams. The shitty thing about Venn diagrams is that they lie. We're trying to take a three-dimensional space here and drop it onto two dimensions with circles. Okay? You cannot represent all of the things that happen in multivariate statistics in a two-dimensional space with pretty little circles, no matter how nice the colors or the graphics. One of the things we're going to run into fairly soon is that you can't represent what are known as suppressor effects this way. Okay? But a lot of the stuff you can represent, so we're going to bleed it as well as we can. All right, we would say that x and z are equally predictive because within my graphic arts abilities, the size of this overlap of x with y is the same as the size of this overlap between z and y. They're equally predictive. They do about as well as each other at predicting y. But they are not equivalent predictors because they predict different parts of y. Does that make sense? Now, this distinction is going to become really important on Friday when we start putting multiple variables into a model. Because here, what x has to contribute and what z have to contribute are different. And a model using both x and z is going to do better than a model using only one or the other. Does that make sense? Well, let me show you equivalent predictors. Now, what I'd really like to do is draw these exactly on top of each other. I didn't just because it's harder to explain. Now, again, x and z are equally predictive because they overlap the same amount of y as each other. But now, in this case, x and z are perfectly correlated with each other. And so they are equivalent predictors. They not only account for the same amount of y, but they account for the same part of y. Distinction makes sense? Yeah. That is singularity. This is collinearity. Two variables and part of what they relate to y overlaps. Multicollinearity is used when there's three or more predictors that overlap. So collinearity is a property of two variables. Multicollinearity, and some people don't even like the term, I don't care. Multicollinearity is a property of three or more variables at a time, three or more predictors at a time. Singularity is when you think you have two pieces of information, but they're the same information because they're perfectly correlated. Down here, x and z are not equally predictive. X is way more predictive than z is of y. Just a second. Yes?
If they're equivalent predictors, does that mean you can drop one of them out of the model and not change it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay. No. It means you can drop one out of the model without changing the r square. But if you drop one out of the model, it'll change the weight of the other one that's left in the model. And that's what we'll start messing about with on Friday, is this notion of, you know, playing the regression hokey pokey. When you put both your left hand and your left foot in, and then you take this out, You have to worry about how it changes the goodness of the model, how well it fits, and how much what's left in it contributes to it. Okay? So these two simple correlations are the same, and they'll both be the same as the multiple correlation. That we can say. But when you say it won't change, we have a whole list of things that we have to check if they change or not. Okay? Great question.
Jordan. So, when you don't have equally predictive or equivalent predictors, that's collinearity?
Collinearity is any time the predictors overlap at all.
Okay.
If they overlap completely, it's called singularity. And we all know the old song, everything you can do, I can do better. Z's not doing much for us here. Everything that Z can do, X can do. So here, you can drop Z, even though they're not equivalent predictors, because of what part of Y Z overlaps is part that X already overlaps. If you drop this out, it won't hurt the model, but it will change what it looks like X is doing. It's like doing a group project and your other group member is a useless idiot. Okay? Unless you have some good reporting mechanism, all that the teacher sees is the R-square, how well you did. The regression weights would say, what was the unique contribution of each of you? And you got it all. Make sense? Notice I assumed that you were the good person in the group. And the other one's the freaking idiot. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, that's what you're looking for when you're trying to find a highly internally consistent set of items to make into a scale. You want them all really overlapping a lot, so that they're all measuring the same construct, or what Thurstone used to say, all pointing in the same direction. What that means is that each one you add might not add very much to the predictive side, but it does add a lot to the reliability side. Because you got to remember, on multiple samplings, these circles might not be in exactly the same place. Good questions. Yeah?
Just to be clear, so X and Z, one of them would be like GRE, one of them would be like GPA, and they would both be trying to predict Y, which is how well you do in grad school.
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be great. All right, and so comfort page, trying to organize this. If two predictors are perfectly correlated with each other, they will be equally correlated with any criterion. They will produce the same Y primes and residuals as each other. If two predictors are correlated less than perfectly with each other, they may be differentially correlated with the criterion. They may produce different Y primes and residuals. And here's an important part. Which participants are given higher or lower Y prime values may differ. Even if the two predictors are equally good, who is predicted as better or poorer may be different between the two. Now, the law hasn't figured this one out yet. The law still thinks about two things are equally good if they have the same correlation coefficient. And then people can choose between them. The law hasn't yet figured out that which one you choose changes who gets high Y prime values and who gets low Y prime values. And when it does, oh, it's going to get ugly quick. Because now we're going to begin to argue about who should have the positive bias based on which predictors we use. Okay? But you got to hang on to this. Which predictors are given higher and lower Y prime values may differ between two predictors that are not perfectly correlated with each other. Also, equally predictive variables might not predict the same Y prime. A person's predicted criterion score may differ depending upon which predictor is used. When you actually do prediction research, one of the things that happens in your head, and if you allow me to get fluffy for a second, in your heart, is that you change from theories and hypotheses about groups to decisions about people. When I build a regression model for, and I've done this for several different graduate programs, when I build a regression model for them, they're now making decisions about who gets into graduate school and who doesn't. You all know people who got into graduate school. You all know people who didn't get into graduate school. Okay? That was an important decision made about them by somebody else. When you cross that line from correlation to prediction, from theory to practice, you really have to think about the fact that you're working with, messing about with, and giving advice to people.